Now, shall we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13? We'll read verse 5. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Tonight I want us to think about necessity of examining our faith. And we'll only consider the first part. That's the most important thing for us tonight. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And Apostle Paul, at the point of writing this epistle, was advising the Corinthians to examine the state of their souls to see whether they were in the true Christian faith. And that is the most holy faith elsewhere he writes, and the common faith as it is called, because all believers have the same faith that is in Christ Jesus. If our faith is genuine, and it's the faith that is in Christ Jesus, and it's the same that works in all true believers. So is that faith which springs from Christ. It comes from Christ alone. It depends on Him. He's the fountain from whom we draw such faith from. And it is also experimental and spiritual. It comes from Christ, and we experience that. And it's something which is spiritual. It also has power over the whole being of the believer. It is the faith that's in Christ that has full power over the believer. And it is the faith also that the believer abides in. The believer without this faith in Christ is outside of Christ. It's like, as you said, that it's like the body of Christ, and each one of us a member of it. We are member of the body of Christ by faith in Him and nothing else. Anyone without faith in Christ is not a member of the body of Christ. So going forward, and considering advice that Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, we will examine it to ourselves, and we shall look at ourselves by these reasons why we must each examine ourselves to test our faith. Because a good thing to do so that we may not go along the tide as usually, anything that people embrace, some might embrace it with different notions and different ideas, but for our faith, Christian faith, it must be upon Christ. And by Apostle Paul telling them to examine their faith, it is good for us to examine our faith. So firstly, we will look at the first reason is that because of faith position in salvation. It is a good thing to examine ourselves because each position in salvation. When we think of our salvation, how faith is the first thing. That is one reason why we have to examine ourselves. It is the first grace that connects us to Christ. We have so many graces. That comes, when we are saved. And in Philippians, tonight I'll be reading some few verses for us. Philippians 3 verse 9, the Bible says, and be found in him, as Paul is telling this Philippians, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So the righteousness which is of God by faith, and the Bible says it's the faith of Christ. So the faith that connects us is in Christ Himself, and then through the faith we are connected to Him. It is also the grace that saves. In Ephesians 2:18, for by grace are you saved through faith. The Bible says it is not by ourselves that we are saved, it is by grace through faith, not of yourself. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So you see, the faith which is in Christ is dependent on Him alone, and nothing of anything that we do. It is also the first gift that the repentant receives from God. When anyone is made to know his sinfulness and repent of sin, The first gift to receive from God is faith. And sometimes people have asked, repentance and faith, which one comes first? But the truth of the matter is that it's the faith that works repentance in anyone. Repentance itself is a gift from God. Anyone without faith can never be a true repentant. So you see, faith, before we even see that we're able to believe, God has worked in our heart, has granted us that measure of understanding, a light that sees our own sinfulness, and then we run to Christ. So you see, faith is a principal thing. And also, it is the security of salvation. In Ephesians 6:16, we are told that the shield of faith. What does shield do? In the olden days, when they are fighting, shields are like they used to block all the arrows or the sword that are thrown at them. So it helps us to quench the fiery doubts, fears, evil suggestions from the enemy of our souls. So the faith is a shield. See, the faith is the shield of faith, because that, as I said, that helps us to fight against all temptations and anything that the enemy throws at us. But there are many kinds of faith, but there's only one true faith. As the Bible said in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And who is that? No one is naturally a just person. It's the person whom Christ has saved. It's the person whom God has justified. Then he becomes a just person. Nobody is a just person naturally. You see, the just who is justified by faith lives by faith. Anyone, a sinner, who is brought to know his sinfulness, who trusts in Christ's righteousness, his death on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood, whoever trusts this becomes a just person. Naturally, none of us is a just person. So those who have been made just live in the same faith. They are not justified by the faith and afterwards live to themselves. No, we continue in that faith. The true faith rests on Christ alone, and its fruits are produced by love. And I think 2 Corinthians, we are told that faith that worketh by love. We see the faith when it is the works that anyone who has that faith works it out of love. Any faith that works, whatever it produces, it's not produced out of love, so it's true faith. Because it's the faith of Christ that produces everything, anything by love. And that faith is devoid of envy, hatred, selfishness, apathy, vainglory, insincerity, and irreverence. Because all these I've mentioned are against anything that is done in love. So true faith produce everything out of love. And it is by it we are able to test if our faith itself is genuine. Because whatever we do in the name of Christ, if it's not out of love for him and for the brethren, it's not done in a true faith. So false faith, we have true false faith also, is only in, it's like an idea. False faith is a kind of faith, but it only dwells in the mind. It doesn't work, it doesn't produce, things out of love. And this false faith consists in believing in a sound statement of faith, but no influence on life. We have many churches, some of our Reformed Baptist churches nowadays, we have some of them have sound, they believe sound creeds, sound statement of faith, but yet most of them don't have the influence of what they believe on their lives. How many, of our Reformed Baptist churches or other true Baptist churches are dying for souls so that souls will hear the gospel? No. How many people? Even among ourselves as Christians, if you meet other brothers, the conversation, how does it end? How many of us among the Christian fraternity, who know the truth, have the desire for souls? No. And yet, we always preach that salvation is in Christ alone, and that until people hear the gospel, as we have in Romans chapter 10, how can they be saved if they do not hear? And how can they hear unless they are sent? And who will go and tell them about Christ? But those with a true faith have this in mind, that yet it is God who saved, yet he has given a way to be saved, that people have to hear the gospel, and it has to be preached to them by someone. And that someone should be someone who has also experienced the same faith. So you see that how that statement of faith that have so much of truth in it affect me, so that I become a dying person, dying for the souls of others. Also, it considers personal trust in Christ as a notion. Those with false faith, yes, it can say anything. Oh, yes, we believe in Lord Jesus Christ. It's just an idea in the mind. That faith does not have personal trust in Christ. It has general idea of trust in Christ. We are all been saved by Christ. We are all, born again by Christ. But not me. I'm myself being born again by Christ. It ascends to Christ as a Savior, but not Lord. This false faith, and it's very common nowadays. Many people in churches accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But how many accept Him as their Lord? But they are two together. Christ saves us to His kingdom. And Christ's kingdom, He rules over it. And how many people who claim to be, to have Christ as their Savior, also believe that Christ is their Lord and their Master. In every aspect of their life, they are willing to obey Him. So we see that faith, some faith do not accept Christ as their Master, so that Christ do not control their lives. It makes people to believe in a lie that offers false assurance of salvation. You know, nowadays, because of the prosperity and the social gospel, many people claim to be saved, and they have a kind of experience where they go to church, they may be speaking in tongues, maybe participating in something, they have a measure of understanding of scripture, and they claim to be saved, and yet they don't actually know really what salvation is even about. I remember I gave a young man a booklet, and when he read it, he came and asked me about, he knew that the Bible teaches that all mankind were once children of Adam, but now we are all children of Abraham, because Abraham had faith, and whoever come to Christ. And I asked him, has he come to Christ? Is he saved? He never knew, he doesn't even know what it is to be saved. So I asked him again, the Bible is saying that we are children of Abraham. It's those who have come to Christ, and I explained things to him, and he was so surprised. He never understood that being a child of Abraham. But when they go to church, I told them, we are all children of Abraham. They receive it, and they receive it. And they think that, yes, they are also children of Abraham. And Abraham had faith, so they somehow are also saved by that faith. And these are kind of false faith, which makes them. And the guy thought himself a Christian. And he thinks, when I spoke to him, he realized he depends on his works, all that he can do. Like, though he said that he's saved and Abraham is his father, but yet it was dependent on his what he can do. So this false faith makes people to presumptuously trust himself and make them careless of their souls. And it's sad thing that when you talk to such people, they're careless of their soul. They don't care where they are going even after this world ends. And the Christianity they are following, They think that has nothing to do with their souls. And it's very sad thing. People are careless of their souls. They think that by understanding things about Christ, Christ has come to die and all that, without committing myself, without surrendering my life to Him, so that He rules over me, so that He influences my life, they are okay, that they are saved. So at this point, we'll look at some few lessons for ourselves, then we'll continue. So this must teach us that we examine our faith, whether genuine or else we shall ourselves be deceived at last. We must also be concerned of our faith than all other things, for if our faith is false, all our works will be false also. Whatever we think has made us Christians, if it is not in Christ, and based on that, whatever we do, all that we do will be false. It will not be accepted by God, and it will not be motivated by the love that Christ has placed in our heart. If our faith is genuine, then we shall also know that we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. As He said that, know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So if we also have genuine faith in Christ, then we know that we have also trusted in Christ. So that's the first part. So second reason here, because all other graces springs from faith. All other true graces. I've mentioned that the false faith produces a kind of things in people, but true faith also have other graces that spring from it in truth. In Matthew 12:33, we have Christ said, make the tree good and his fruit good. The tree, the source, make it good, and then whatever comes out will be good. Make it bad, and whatever comes out will be bad. Though people might not see how bad it is, but in the eyes of God, it will be. So the true faith, I mean, faith which spring from Christ, and the true graces that spring from it, we have, in time of our trials, if we have true faith, we produce all the graces that must sustain and keep us in safety. If our faith is genuine, in times of trial, sometimes we may become weak and be confused, but if it's genuinely, God will help us so that whatever grace we need to have to be firm and to stand and to be in safety, so that our testimony and our faith will not die out. God will, that faith will produce by and by in us. It will never go down. We will be brought back again on our feet. If that faith is genuine, we will never go off. But the graces that we need to sustain us in times of trial will be given us. The faith itself will produce God. It's something that works in us. So, in doubt and fears, faith will produce courage and peace. It's a must. Apostle Paul gave us an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I read something for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You see how Apostle Paul himself testified of such trust in God, what it produced in them in terms of their trials, in terms of their distress. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. It says, for we will not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. Look at the condition they were in. But we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. They were constrained, they were in distress. Said God, they trust, and they realized they cannot trust in themselves. I know Apostle Paul was not trusting himself, but you know, when anyone is pressed beyond, in our mind, beyond measure, we try to do that. But I said that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, above physical strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But where was their they trusted in God. The courage they had was out of faith, out of the trust that God would deliver them. So, in times of doubt and fears, faith will produce courage and peace. When we have courage, then peace comes. But when we are discouraged, we shall never have peace. So, you see, we might struggle initially, but if truly our faith is genuine, the courage will come and the peace will come along with it. Take another thing also, in strife, faith will produce love, patience, and tolerance. In Genesis chapter 30, remember when Abraham and Lot had that contention. Abraham called Lot. Let me read it in Genesis chapter 30. I want to read it better. Genesis chapter 13, verse 8 to 9. You see the attitude of Abraham, a man of faith. That we have to also learn of him. Genesis chapter 13, verse 8 to 9. And Abraham, they both of their servants have reported of the strife. There have been a strife. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my headmen and thy headmen, for we be brethren. It's not the whole land before thee, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Abraham, the man of faith, tolerance, patience, and love. Abraham was the elder, he was the uncle. He should have said, oh Lord, you are young, just depart from me. But he even gave an opportunity for the young person to decide for him. How many of us Christians have this, that when we are even being pressed, have been maltreated, have the love and the patience to just let things be, and people take whatever they share they have stole from us. Christ said that when somebody takes one clothes from us, we should give him the other one if he demands it. It's an example for us to know that faith in times of strife, in times of conflict and contentions, will produce love, patience, and tolerance. Where in the worldly people will stand bold and rather use vile words and act in a way that is so harsh, faith will produce love and patience in the heart of the believer. In temptation to selfishness, faith will produce kindness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, remember, Paul tells us that let me read it. 2 Corinthians, I think that would be better. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, and praying us with much entreaty that we will receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. You see, these people were in deep poverty. And naturally, in the world, in the scene of unbelief, what happens? Everyone keeps his own thing. But because these people has genuine faith in them, they have been tempted to think of themselves. Already you are poor. You are thinking of poor believers. Maybe their state is poorer than you, and you are giving all that some to them from the little that you have. But it tells you that these people had a faith that produced kindness. And this faith, if it's genuine in Christ, will always produce this kind of kindness. Selfishness and self-consumption will be out. Though we grow in it little by little as believers, we might have little of it and we have to grow out of it. And bring more fruit, because our faith in us, like the plant, us, and we have to produce all these fruits in abundance. Some we have little, some we have more, others we have to produce all. So these people it might be a temptation to them to keep whatever they have for themselves. Already they are poor. God knows that we are poor, but they had out of faith, the faith they had, that Christ who provides things for them will still provide, even if they should give out, leading them to show kindness. So in confrontation, faith will also produce patience and meekness. Ephesians 4, we are told that we should, Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 3. I need that one also. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The faith that has called us to this vocation, the walk of faith, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is to all believers, so that's why I said that we should forbear one another in love in the times of confrontations, in the times of things that are done against us. Say what? We should be patient and meek to one another. And we cannot be unless this true faith is in our hearts. Out of this faith, that rest in Christ, is able to grant us such grace that is able to bear with one another. If we are believers and we are not able to bear with one another, we must really pray for grace, because it must come from our faith that we should bear with one another. Remember Jesus Christ himself, what did they not do to him? And yet he was calm and humble, as in Philippians, we are told we should imitate his meekness, how himself bore everything on himself, and yet he never reiterated anything to anyone. So if our faith is true, we will be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Though sometimes weak faith shrinks from suffering, but when strong, we do exploit. When we have true faith, we shall never give an excuse for whatever cause of Christ the Lord brings on our way. We will take it up. And in the midst of the sufferings, the graces, faith will produce the graces for us to be able to pass through. It's wonderful. If you trust in the Lord, and you see sometimes how you're able to do, out of weakness. You don't even know what to do. But the true faith will quicken you and produce the things that will help you. And you never shrink from suffering for the cause of Christ. Remember, all the martyrs that we read the histories about, what caused them to suffer for Christ? If their faith were not genuine, they couldn't. Sometimes I sit down and think that the kind of Christianity we have today, if persecution pursue us, indeed, I don't know how, but I know when at the time comes, God will give those who are genuine through courage and through grace to be able to endure. But sometimes I fear. Because when you read about the history of this the persecution that went on, how many people were able to endure? Sometimes in a fire, people will be singing hymns. Sometimes you risk many things that were done against them, and they were able to bear it. It tells you what faith can do. Faith can really do exploits, and faith will really produce the things, the graces that will be able to keep us, to do the things that we ought to do. So we must be sure of our faith. Things all through Christian virtues depend on it. Think of any Christian virtue, anything that you want to do as a Christian that God accepts. It depends on faith, because it gives the courage to be able to do so. And as we know, the Bible tells that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's not say without love, it's not say without kindness, because all those things comes after faith. Say without faith, it is impossible to please God, because without faith, we can't see God. Without faith, whatever the word of God tells us, we can't take it. We can't believe it. So you see, we should be careful with our faith, and we should examine ourselves of how our faith is, and see how it rests in our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we move on to the third reason. And the third reason is because it is one of the three things that the Bible declares as precious. Faith is precious. In the Bible, if you go to 1 Peter 1:19, we are bought with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible says precious. And also in 2 Peter 1:4, we are told, whereby are given unto us precious promises. All the promises of God are precious, because it comes from God who is able to fulfill them. They are not promises like us, it's being made by man to man, where it's, we cannot rely upon. But promises of God are precious. And it says in 2 Peter 1:1, faith is also said to be precious. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us, as Peter wrote to the other believers, like precious faith. That faith is precious. Faith is something. So we have three things mainly about which is so precious. Faith is one. Somebody said faith is the glorious grace that Christ most adorns. And I think Spurgeon and Thomas Brook have special quotes on this, and I'll quote for you. Spurgeon said that Christ often put his own glory on faith. He set faith as the colors of the of his garment, by which we may see him. So you see that if God has not given you the faith, which is in Christ, you can't see Christ. See what Christ was adorned himself into our faith, so that through the colors of faith we are able to see Christ. And also Thomas Brooks also says that Christ often take the crown of his own head and put it upon the head of faith, meaning that Christ, for instance, salvation is in Christ Jesus. But the Bible casts the word as if salvation is in the faith that we have. Salvation is in Christ, but Christ honors faith, so that when we believe, he gives us true faith. So he crowns faith, the head of faith, with his own crown. That which is on Christ, he puts on faith. So faith in Christ have all that it is that is in Christ, so that we can rest our hope on him. Let's look at how Christ himself praises faith in his miracles. One, he said that thy faith has made thee whole. When the woman touched his garment, thy faith has made thee whole. That the woman has faith. How does the woman have her own? It's not her own faith. The faith, any faith that says the faith that comes from God as a gift to anyone. But Christ said thy faith made thee whole. And elsewhere, he said that faith has saved thee. As if the person has his personal, it's not personal faith from the person. That faith has saved thee. And another, he said that faith has healed thee. So you see, in all his miracles, he talks as if those who received the benefits of his miracles had their faith. And it's not that their personal, the faith which Christ, they had in Christ, which Christ is the object, God is the object of that faith. So you see that faith is so precious, and faith will do exploits. So as Apostle tells us that we should examine also whether we be in the faith, because many have a wrong faith. Remember Simon in Acts, he had a kind of faith that was a wrong faith. It was faith that led him to think of the gift of God that they can be bought with money, and also the work of Christ could be done with, I mean, worldly things. You have faith of Judas. Judas, as Spurgeon said, he was an apostle and apostate. Judas has faith. He trusted, he followed Jesus Christ, but his faith, where did his faith ended him? At the end, his faith did not do him any good. It ended him in self-destruction. And there are many people also, like I'm sure Ananias and Sapphira, they also had the kind of faith which brought them into the Christian faith. But where did it end them? But we can think of others whose faith really transformed them. The faith of Apostle Paul, which made him to forgo all worldly advantages, which made him to forgo of his own personal career, which he was pursuing as pleasing himself and pleasing God, as he thinks. Such faith will be able to overturn. It's like somebody heading north and immediately turns out to us and doesn't want to go north again. That was the life of Apostle Paul. It was faith that works mightily in his heart to change things around so that his life was able to count for what God wants him to be. Look at the faith of the disciples of and the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter and others, they were just fishermen. They were just fishermen, I mean, doing their normal trade. They were not learned, I mean, they are all like the others who have learned many things. But look at how faith was able to transform them so that with them, Christianity was able to start. Their faith, which, I mean, they had in Christ, was able to do much. So that from Jerusalem, the gospel was able to spread throughout the whole world. And a few hundred years, the gospel was spread all over the world. It was because of the faith which they had in Christ. If their faith were not genuine, the church wouldn't have continued, and the work of Christ would have not continued, because God would not have even blessed whatever they would have done. God would not have given them the graces that they needed to pursue and to also proclaim the gospel. So it's not, faith is a precious thing which we have to consider for ourselves. If our faith is genuine, then we see, because as I said, the works that it produces confirms them to us. So if Christ values and crowns faith so much, then we must also have the greatest concern for our faith. Our greatest concern for our faith. And mark whatever we are able to produce. Well, and the word of God that will help us to mark it. If it's according to the love of God, the love that is in Christ, and love for one another. So we see, and he added the word that we accept, we are not reprobate. That means others with faith that are not genuine, yes, they join, they join the Christians, and yet they turn out to be, I mean, false. As we see Judas, we see Simon, and Ananias and Sapphira, and all others who fall out. And Paul even mentioned many, Alexander and many others who say that they have made shipwreck of their faith. True faith can never go into shipwreck. True faith cannot go along and along the line, something happens and it goes off and it turns out to be something else. Some have their faith initially and along the line they become apostate. They turn out to be something else. But true faith will never, though sometimes true faith might not have full understanding about many things, but it will still rest on whatever the word of God has giving him or her to understand. So the time God himself shows him more. True faith will not go ahead of God. It always rests in what God has already given. And it will be content till God himself is willing to show more of what it has to do. So you see that true faith does not work itself out of vain glory. So if faith is the greatest grace that to have, then we must all examine ourselves if we have the true faith which rests on Christ. And let's all mark it that true faith rests on Christ alone and nothing else. And you know, as I said, when I started, I said that nowadays, it's very common because of this prosperity and social gospel nowadays. Oh, I have faith. Oh, I have faith. I mean, have faith in, and it's all about themselves. Having the kind of strong, I mean, desire, which based on I don't know, yeah, themselves or whatever, which give them some kind of hope. Somebody said that's like, as the faith of a fool who we think will go and sleep at the mouth of a bomb, thinking that, oh, he will not, I mean, die. And yet, when the bomb is thrown, then he's gone. And that's the faith of many Christians today in our world. Many have some experience. Many have been brought into some kind of experience. I think it's faith in Christ. And yet, as I said earlier, how many have the love for souls? Many say they are Christians, but how many? Sometimes it's the same. When we think of many who claims to be Christians, for instance, if you look at this JWs, what they are teaching is not right, but how they are dying to promote it. But our faith, we who have the true faith, how are we dying for the lost of the world? How are we dying for those who have not their faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If it should be something when we are sleeping, when we are waking, should be something that should be our foremost thought, that men are dying and going to hell. Yes, God saves. Yes, as I said, God has ordained. It's not just the preacher that somebody has to tell someone, and then God also saves. God will have his those that he will save, and yet he has said that we should go on and preach. Remember, Apostle Santa, he speaks as if that it is his preaching that saves. But no, it's because of the love for the souls of dying, for the souls of those who are dying without Christ, that he will do everything to make the name of Christ known everywhere, so people will cherish Christ and uphold him. So let's examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, and let's prove our own self by the works that we shall produce, by the works of love, by the works of kindness, in times of in times when we are restricted to think of our own self, in times when we are tempted to think of our own self, and it was in terms of confrontation and abuse and everything. How do we manifest the godly character in us? Faith will help us to stand firm, to be meek. Remember Moses, the Bible says that he was the meek in the whole world. There was none meek like Moses at the point when all the confrontations were coming to him. It was because of his faith that he was able to be so much in a state of meekness. So let us all endeavor so that let us prove our faith with the works of love that we shall be able to produce. Let us prove that Christ indeed has died for us, that Christ's death on the cross, which we believe it has purchased our redemption. Let us know that such faith in him produces such works that are worthy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it will rest on him alone and in nothing else. May the Lord help us and grant us further understanding to let us examine ourselves and know whether we be in the faith. In closing,